Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Mem Aleph, and we are at the beginning of the new perek, at the bottom of daf Mem Amid Beis, Kol Hatzlamim. So, Kol Hatzlamim really begins a third chapter, so to speak, of Mesechtas Avodah Zarah. We're going to talk more about Tzlamim and the actual Avodah Zarah. However, we do have some unfinished business from Perek Ein Mamidim, so go through the daf, and then Ezrat Hashem, at the end of the daf, we'll go back and we'll discuss the Mishnah on daf Lamed Tes Amid Beis, specifically the halacha of Chol of Stam. Either way, Zok de Mishnah. Kol Hatzlamim Asurin. All images, statues that the Oivdei Avodah Zarah used to have were Asur, meaning they were Asur Bahana, Mipnei Shehin Nevodim Pamachas Bishana, Divrei Rav Meir. The reason is, because even though we don't know for sure that these Tzlamim were never, they were ever used as Avodah Zarah, but Rav Meir says, one day a year they were, and it's for that reason they were treated like Avodah Zarah, and Avodah Zarah is Asur. The Chachamim say it's not true. Not all Tzlamim are Asur. Rather, in Asur, Ela Kol Sheyesh Biyadei Makel. The only time a Tzlamim is going to be Asur is if this statue, this image, this person that's in the Tzlamim is holding a stick, a tzipar or a bird, a kader or a ball. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Av Kol Sheyesh Biyadei Kol Dover. So not all statues, but at the same time, not only if it's holding a stick, a bird or a bull. But rather, if it's holding something, that's enough for it to be Asur. If it's not holding anything, then it's not going to be Asur. So what's going on? So just a little bit of background. Number one, the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Zayin Halacha Beis, says the Rambam, Avodah Zarah Atzma u'mishamsheha. Avodah Zarah, the things that serve Avodah Zarah, v'tikrei v'shalah, and anything that was sacrificed to an Avodah Zarah, v'chala nasa v'shvila, anything that was made to facilitate Avodah Zarah, Asur bahana. Can't have anah from. Shenemar, the Rambam brings two psukim. Number one, it says, V'leitavi toyeva el beisecha. V'chol hanene v'echem yevu. And anyone that has anah from one of the aforementioned things, loikishtai, he's going to get malchus twice. Achas mishum v'leisavi toyeva el beisecha. One for that pasuk. V'achas mishum, there's another pasuk the Rambam says, V'leitbak biyotcha ma'uma menacher. So either way, the Rambam, it's one sifkaten, very simple introduction. The Rambam says, that avoy de zora, umeshamsheha, v'takrei v'shala, v'chol anase v'shvila, aser be. So there's a whole list of things that appear many times in Shas that are Isurei Hana. Arla is Isurei Hana. Sharaniskal is Asabana. Kiliakarim is Asabana. Avodah Zarah. But not just Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah and all its ancillaries, as the Rambam speaks out, are all going to be Asur Bahana. So that's Poshit. Avodah Zarah is Asur Bahana. It's open and shut. It's two psukim in the Torah. The Rambam says, Loikishtayim. You get Malkus twice for the two independent lavin. That's not what our Mishnah is discussing. Our Mishnah is discussing a tzelem. A tzelem was a statue of some sort. It looks like something that maybe a pagan would worship, but as far as we know, we don't know for sure that anybody ever worshipped it. And that was something very, very relevant. If you travel Europe, you see these statues all over the place. So the question is, these statues, these tzlamim, were they treated like Avodah Zarah? Were they not treated like Avodah Zarah? Aser you're not going to get Malkus. So this Mishnah was, and is to a degree, a very important Mishnah. Kol Hatzlamim Asurim, says Rav Meir, Mipnei Shehin Nevodim Hamachas B'Shana. Rav Meir said the Metzius was that even these Tzlamim that weren't Avodah Zarah per se, but one day a year, the pagans used to worship them. And as a result, it's Asur Bahana. The Chachamim said, no, only a statue, only a Tzelem that has a makal, a tzipor, or a kader. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was the middle road. He was the machriya b'neihem. He said, it doesn't have to be holding a makal, a tzipor, or a kader, but at the same time, it has to be holding something. But the Gemara asks the obvious question. I don't understand. If it's true, the fact, the metzias is, that all these tzlamim were worshipped one day a year, my time in the Rabbanon, why did the Rabbanon hold that it's going to be mutter? Meaning, Rameir said that the reason I hold it's aser is because one day a year, people used to worship these tzlamim. So man of shach, one day a year is enough to render it Avodah Zarah. So it is Avodah Zarah. If it's Avodah Zarah, it should be like Yishnayim. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, b'm kemish shomei hoyo evdan ma'isa pamachas b'shan. The truth is that most people never ever worship these tzlamim. There were, however, some people that used to. In fact, b'm kemish shomei, where a mayor lived, he saw the pagans, they used to worship the tzlamim that weren't Avodah Zarah. But they represented something related to Avodah Zarah, and one day a year, they would worship them. Rameir l'shitasoi throughout Shas the Chayish l'miyuta goz hasham rekayim esato oisem makim. Rameir was always Chayish for the miyut, so he knew that there are a miyut of people that worship the tzlamim. So he said, as a result, all the tzlamim are going to be us. Rabban lo Chayish l'miyuta, but the rabbanon who throughout Shas anach Chayish l'miyuta lo goz hasham rekayim esato oisem makim. So they weren't worried, and as a result, the machlokes Rameir and the chachamim is not a machlokes of metzias. The metzias, everyone agrees, most tzlamim were never nevad. There were mekaymos where some people were, such as mekaymos or Rameir. Rameir, who throughout Shas is chayish l'miyuta, such as in the laws of Yevamis and getting that base, we just had it recently. Rameir who's chayish l'miyuta, Rameir is going to say that I'm always worried about the miyut of tzlamim that are never, thus a tzelim is always going to be us about. No, Rabbanon who are not chayish l'miyuta, they don't have this problem. This halacha that we say that a tzelim is aser because of the miyut of people, leave it to Rameir, that were nevad, that bowed down to it, or they gave it covered as a way to deserve. It's only true if it was a statue that was made for the king. So what does Andarik Nisham Malachim mean? Machleik is Rashi and Tosis. We'll go with Rashi's pshat. Rashi says, K'sham Melech Meis, when the king would die, Oysen Tzurasai, they would make a tzura of him, but Pesach Hashar, at the opening of the gate of the city, Lizikarim, as a remembrance. V'hasam Kasser Rameir, says Rashi, it's over there that Rameir said it's also the Agav Chavivusa Palchile. That statue was something that people used to sometimes worship. But an ordinary statue, even Rameir would agree, there's not even a miyuta, and as a result, there's no problem. Not just that. I mean, not only is this halach of Rameir only true by Andarti Shamalachim, but it's also only true if the Andarti Shamalachim was on the Pesach of the Medina. That means it was Chashiv, it was that type of statue that sometimes people would worship. But ordinarily, it's not going to be a problem. Another halach, Amar Rabbi, machloik is b'shal kvarim. The halach is, where this machloik is remained the chum is only regarding a village, avu b'shal krachim, but related to the big cities, divri akam mutarim, everyone holds its mota. So kvarim and krachim come up. Megillah Nikras, B'Yud Aleph is today Yud Aleph, right? So Megillah Nikras, B'Yud Aleph, B'Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tezvav. So you find in halacha sometimes there were nafkaminas between the people that lived in the big cities, people that lived in the villages. So Rabbi said, you could chalk this up as another example where there's a nafkamina in halacha, but when you live in a village, you live in a city. Meaning the whole machlokes was in the kfar. But in the big cities, everyone held it was mutter. My time will annoy Avdilu. Because there, the big cities, people used to invest money into infrastructure to make it look good, landscaping. So this, it was definitely there. No, it had nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. But the Gemara says it's not true. If you were there, you would know that it's Hepech HaSvar. The Kfarim, Ikel Amand, Amal Lenoi, Kavdilu. Is there anybody that holds that in Kfarim there's a tzad that it was Lenoi? As if to say, Machloikis be Kfarim, that the Rabbanon are makel by Kfarim. The Kfarim, Vaday Lemifalchinu Avdiluhu. In the Kfarim, the small village, think of a small little shtetl. Nobody did anything. There was no Noi in the shtetlach. It was what it was. You tried making it to the next day, but there was no issues of Noi. So if you're going to find a statue in the shtetl, then it's Pashit in the Kfar. It's there, Lemifalchinu. Eloiyet, Mahachiyet, you have to edit Rabba's comment. Oh my Rabba, Machloikis b'shal krach. Machloikis was in the krach. Avu b'shal kvarim divriya kol asurim. Precisely for that reason, because in the kfar we know for sure it was avodah zarah. If we know for sure it was avodah zarah, then of course it's going to be asur b'hanah. There's no debate about that. The whole debate is where it was made l'noi. Rameir said sometimes pamachas b'shana there were those that used to be ovid. I'm chayish l'miyuta. You always have to be chayish for that. The rabbanon hold loy chayishin l'miyuta. Even though it's true, Rameir, I'm not disagreeing with your metzias, but we hold loy chayishin l'miyuta. You always go basur roiv as it relates to this halacha. You can go basur roiv as well. So what did the chacham say? The Chachamim said an ordinary tzelem is not aser. However, there are three types of tzelem that's aser. If the tzelem, this person in this image, is either holding a makel, a stick, a tzipar, or a bird, kader, or a ball. So one of those three things, that renders it avodah zarah. Zok de gemara, makel, why makel? What would make makel a symbol of avodah zarah? Sheroide es atzmo itachas kol ha'olam kulo gamakel. Because it looks like he's holding a stick as if he rules over the world. So it's a sign of a deity. Now, if you look at the Lashon HaGemara, sheroide es atzmo itachas kol ha'olam. It sounds like he himself is under the makel. The reason is because the Gemara didn't even want to say that he himself, this avodah zarah, is roid al kol ha'olam kuloi, because HaKadosh Baruch was roid al kol ha'olam kuloi. So we're saying it b'lashon saginar. But the point is that the stick symbolized the fact that he controls, he governs, he rules, and that's why it's a sign of avodah zarah. There it's going to be us. Tzipar, same idea. Shetoyfes etz atzmai tachas kol ha'olam kuloi k'tzipar. Because the whole world to him is like a tzipar. And kadosh, shetoyfes etz atzmai tachas kol ha'olam kuloi k'tzipar. That he's holding the whole world like a ball. Why a ball, because the world is round, and as a result, kikador. Interesting. They added three additional types of statues. If the statue is holding a sayif is a sword, a tar is a crown, tabas is a ring. Sayif, mikar, stuff they used to think, list the malma. It's just a sign of a listing. Then they realize, no, he's holding a sword as if, same idea, like the stick. The whole world is tachas his memshala. Atar mikarasav gidul kli the ba'am. He just has a crown of some sorts. Maybe he's in the business of making crowns. It was related. It was in front of us. It was like a storefront. No, katar lemelech. Tabas mikarasav ishtaima ba'alma. Originally, they thought that tabas was, Rashi says, shliach hanoisa chaysan ha-meshalchoi. That he's a shliach of some sort. That's what it represented. Again, you had to be there to fully appreciate this. Then they realized, no, that tabas is in the tabas ha-melech. That this shows power, it shows control. Again, Yonah Diyema, but either way, that is the idea of these additional three things. It just reminded me, as I was saying, that, you know, the Rambam and the Meir Nevuchim, so the Rambam famously, in his third chelik of Meir Nevuchim, so he goes through different diktukim, different details in the laws of Karbanos, and he says that, you know, the whole idea of Karbanos, that's the Rambam's famous shita that the Ramban brings in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, and the Ramban has a big problem with the Rambam's position, but the Rambam says that the ikar of the mitzvah of Karbanos, Seder Kachin, Teres Kayan, it was all to take us away from Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam says that the more you understand Avodah Zarah, the better appreciation you would have to the details of the laws of Kachin. Then he writes at the end, he says that he tried explaining it to the best of his ability, but he says, Baruch Hashem, he says, today the world has been cleansed so much from the ancient paganism, and it's for that reason we can't fully appreciate it. So he says, we look at certain halachas and certain mitzvahs even in the Torah, and we don't fully appreciate al derech pshat. You know, obviously there's set remez, side, and drush. But al derech pshat, he says, we try to understand it a little bit better. And he says, we're at a loss sometimes. And we say, oh, it's a chayk. It's not a chayk. We just don't understand it. And the reason we don't understand it is because, you know, Baruch Hashem, we don't live in that world. So a lot of these gemaras, you know, it's very hard. We're trying to understand why a statue with a stick and a listem and a this and a that would make sense. Again, we don't live there. But, you know, if we did, obviously these things would be a little bit clearer. Either way, Bshim Gamliel said, it doesn't have to be a makal, a tzipor, or a kader. It doesn't even have to be a tabar, a sayif, a tar, and a tabas. But anything that the statue is holding would render it avodah zarah. Tana, afilu tzroir, even if it's holding tzroir, afilu kisa, even if it's holding dirt. Doesn't matter what it is. Bayi Rav Ashi, tofas biyadi tzoya mao. Really, everything? What about tzoya? Zok de gemara. Mi amrina, what's the shayla? Do you say, kuli amu zilba peki tzoya? Is the point that the whole world to me is like tzoya? Again, it's an idea of control, of power, deity, that the whole world is under its control. It's literally like nothing. Maybe it was a symbol that represented Tzaya. So is it in itself Tzaya? Or is the symbolism that the whole world is to it like Tzaya? So Gemara says, take another Mishnah. If somebody finds a broken cellar. So the Mishnah said, call that slumim asurim. According to Rameir, all tzlamim were asur. According to Chachamim, only certain types of tzlamim. According to Bshim Gamliel, if the tzlamim is holding anything, that makes it asur. Otherwise, it's going to be mutar. What if somebody finds a broken tzlamim, a broken piece of a tzlamim? So, the Mishnah, harei elu mutar. The halacha is it's mutar. Matzah tafnis yad, oy tafnis rego. What, however, if this shever of a tzlamim, the Gemara will explain this, was the tzura of a hand or of a foot. Because sometimes would worship the hand, they would worship the foot. Thus, for so whatever reason, it's going to be different. So the Mishnah says, what's the pshat? So Rashi, right away in the Mishnah, says a pshat. And the truth is, as we'll see, that Rashi's pshat is really toloi in two pshatim that the Gemara is going to bring in the Mar. But Rashi says it in the Mishnah, so we're going to speak it out in the Mishnah. Rashi says that the reason Amoitze Shivrei Tzlamim, Harei El Mutarim, is because if the halacha is that although Avodah Zarah is Asabana, but if a guy or a yid is Mevatel Avodah Zarah, he says that I don't believe in this Avodah Zarah anymore, this Getshka is silly, it's Narish, and he denounces his affiliation with this Tzelem, or with this Avodah Zarah, then the halacha changes, then the halacha is that it becomes mutar. So Avodah Zarah is Aser, but there's a way to make Avodah Zarah not Aser anymore, and that's by being Mevatel Avodah Zarah. Now, if you find the Shever of a Avodah Zarah on the floor, or the Shever of a Tzelem on the floor, it looks like somebody took it, smashed it, broke it, and as a result, he was mevatelet, because if you broke it, chances are you will be mevatel. So Rashi says in the Mishnah, the reason Amoitzi Shivrei Tzlamim is mutar is, because every tzelem is really only a suffik if it's avodah zara. It's a suffik. Rav Meir, who was the biggest machmir in the Mishnah, he said, "Mipnei shehein avodah pamachas b'shana." But Rav Meir acknowledged that it was only a miut of people. Rav Meir is chayish l'miuta. So Rav Meir said that even though usually you go basarayv, no, I'm chayish l'miuta. It has to be a miuta de miuta to go basarayv. Otherwise, Rav Meir doesn't go basarayv, and therefore Rav Meir holds we're concerned. But it's only a concern. We don't know. It's only a tzelem. We don't know for sure that it was avodah zara. So it's a suffik if it was avodah zara. Now that you find it on the floor smashed, there's another suffik. Maybe the person threw it on the floor, he smashed it, and he meant to be mevatel it. So what you have is a svek sveiko. Svek sveiko's mutter. So Rashi says, you want to know what pshat in the Mishnah is? Because the whole iser tzlamim was all gebayt on a safek. Itzelim was not avodah zara. It was an image that sometimes people worship. Maybe a miut, depending on the scenario, what type it's on. But it's all safek at the end of the day. I mean that it's all safek. Now I could combine the two sveikas, what happens is a svek sveiko, it's going to be a mut. That's the way Rashi explains the Mishnah based on what we'll see on Amud Beis. Stating that, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel learned not that way. Afilu shivrei avoides koichavim. That this halacha that says, Amoitzi shivrei tzlamin, harei elim utarim, is lav dafke shivrei tzlamin. It's true even if it was shivrei avoides zara. Meaning, even if you saw an actual avoides zara on the floor, even then the halacha would be that it's going to be mutter. Now, obviously, Shmuel is not learning the way Rashi was mefarish in the Mishnah, because Rashi was mefarish in the Mishnah that it's a svek sveka. What was a svek sveka? It's a suffik if the tzelem is even avodah zara. Okay, so that's true by itself. But Shmuel saying is halacha by shivrei avodah zara. Here we're talking about real avodah zara. So if we're talking about real avodah zara, and still Shmuel said halacha that it's going to be mutter, it's a vice toys as nothing to do with svek sveka. So what's the pshat? So presumably the pshat is that Shmuel holds that once it's broken, it automatically is bottle. If it's automatically bottle, right now it's not avodah zara anymore. If right now it's not a suffix, it's a vadai. Being that it's a vadai, you don't need to combine it with another suffix, so that even if it was shivrei avodah zara, not shivrei tzlamim, even then the halacha is going to be mutter. But the Gemara says, Shmuel, it's very nice you hold that way in Svara, but vanantan shivrei tzlamim. The Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says shivrei tzlamim. And shivrei tzlamim is very misleading, because if from reading the Mishnah shivrei tzlamim, it sounds like only by tzelem. What's the Svara? It should only be by tzelem. Rashi Svara. Svek Sveka. But if you're right, Shmuel, if you're correct, that this halacha has nothing to do with Svek Sveka, because when you see Shivrei Avodah Zara, you know for sure he was Mevatle. So it's true even by Avodah Zara, even not by Tzlamen. So why did the Mishnah say Shivrei Tzlamen? So the Gemara says, well, then the Fiddler Shivrei Avodah Zara. Really, the Mishnah could have said Shivrei Avodah Zara. But the time is Shivrei Tzlamen. The reason the Mishnah said Shivrei Tzlamen, Shivrei Tzlamen, Mishnah is Sefer, because the Mishnah wanted to tell me the Sefer. Matzah Tavnes Yad Tavnes Regal, Arei Lo Asur. If somebody finds the Tavnes of a Yad, the Tavnes of a Regal, if that was the image, even though it's a Shevet, it's still going to be us. And the reason is, Bnei Chakiyot Tzabahem Never. Tanan, Matzah Tav. So for that reason, we said the ratio of the Mishnah by Tzlamim as well. Because the Sefer said a Chumrah. What was the Chumrah in the Sefer? The Chumrah was that if you found the Shever, but it was a Tavdis, yeah, Tavdis Regal, then it's going to be awesome. Had the Mishnah been talking about Avodah Zara, so that the Reish is discussing Shivrei Avodah Zara, so I would only know in the Sefer, Tavdis, yeah, Tavdis Regal, when it's Shivrei Avodah Zara. Only then I would know the Chumrah. But what about if it was Shivrei Tzelem, and it was Tavdis, yeah, Tavdis Regal, then I wouldn't know the halacha. So the whole Mishnah said it's halacha by tzlamim, so that I would know the chiddush of the chumrah in the sefer, rather than tell me the halacha by avodah zara, so that I should know the chiddush of the kula in the resha. I'm leading into the obvious kasha, Tosfos kasha. Don't we always say koich de teira adif? So either way, that's Tosfos kasha. I ain't jump. But regardless, tanan we learned in the Mishnah matzli tavnis ya tavnis regal hare elu asurim neshik yoytze bein nevet. Why can you say nevad? The Sefer the Mishnah is discussing even shivrei avodah zara, and it says over here that matzah tavnis ya tavnis regal, it's aser neshek yoytz ben nevad. The problem is that if we broke it, and Shmuel holds, if you break it, it's for sure bottle. So who cares if it's a hand or a foot? The bottom line is he for sure broke it. So the Gemara says, take him to Shmuel. Shmuel himself answered the kasha. Boim the Malbus season. It's talking about that it was ready on a platform of some sorts. It was on a pedestal, meaning it was broken. It clearly was broken. But now somebody took the piece. He took the hand. He took the foot, and he put it on a buses. Well, if you put it on a buses, then it shows that you're machshiv it. So that even though it was broken and at some point somebody was having a bad day. But the bottom line is, now that you put it on the buses, so if it was some other body part, so maybe it wouldn't be muchach. But yad v'regel, tavnis yad, tavnis regel. Either way, the halacha is, over there it's going to be ta'itmar, avodas kechavim she'nishtabr meila. So we just said the halacha, that if a guy takes his avodah zara and he throws it on the floor, and he breaks it. So what's the halacha? It becomes mutter. Because even though Avodah Zarah itself is asa b'hanah, v'lo yisovi toyevel be'secha, v'lo yidbak biyotchem u'me min acherim, the Rambam says you like a shtayim if you have an oven of Avodah Zarah. But you can also be mevatel Avodah Zarah. You can take Avodah Zarah and you can make it oisav Avodah Zarah. You can take away the status of Avodah Zarah. How do you do that? By being mevatel. Classic textbook example of being mevatel Avodah Zarah is you take it and you break it. The shaila is, what happens if Avodah Zarah breaks by itself? So you had a Avodah Zarah, it was on top of the brake front, it came crashing down. It's in shticker now. The question is, do we say it's bottle or is it not bottle? Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Itmar Avodah Kechavim Shenishtaber Meileh Avodah Zarah that broke by itself. Rabbi Yochanan Masur. Rabbi Yochanan says it's Aser. Rabbi Yochanan Muteres. Reish Lakish said it's Muter. Rabbi Yochanan Masur. Rabbi Yochanan said it's Aser. The whole bottle. You never mevatel it. It broke by itself. You yourself would never mevatel it. Shimon Lakish Am Muteres. Reish Lakish says it's Muter. Mistama Betulim mevatel it. After it breaks, presumably the owner of the Avodah Zarah was mevatel. Meaning, it's true, nobody went and did a ma'isa b'yadayim. So from that standpoint, the fact that it fell, that happened on its own. But we're assuming that when the guy comes and he sees that his Avodah Zarah is broken, then he'll be mevatel. And the Gemara says, why? Meimar Amar, he's going to say to himself, "E nafshalo yatzlo." He couldn't protect himself. Lahu gavra matzile? Could he protect me? So he's going to denounce his affiliation at that point. So it's for that reason we assume it's batel. So if a person is mevatel at b'yadayim, that's pashit. Then it's not a Avodah Zarah. If it happens by itself, Rabbi Yechanan Amar Asura, Rabbi Lakish Amar Muteres. Eis Rabbi Yechanan Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yechanan asks Reish Lakish, how could you Reish Lakish say that Avodah Zarah that breaks by itself is mutter? This is a classic example in Tanakh of when this actually happened, and this is Nach 101. The pasuk says, "Vayashkimu baboiker." They woke up in the morning and they saw Dagoin. It was lying on the floor in front of the Aroin. The head of Dagoin, and it's the palms of its two hands, crucis, was severed. El Miftan, it was on the Miftan. Rak Dagoin Nishar Olav. Only Dagoin itself was there. Shmuel Aleph, Perakei Pasuk Dalet. What's the context? The context is the Philistines, the Plishtim, had captured the Aroin. And as soon as they captured the Aroin, strange things were happening. And they realized at some point that these things may be happening because of the fact they have an Aron. So they decided they're going to test it. They put the Aron on two cows, hashtag singing cows. We had this in the daf a couple of weeks ago. And the cows went by themselves. Vatisharno, they went straight. But Chazal Darshan, Miloshin, Oz, Yoshin, Moshe. They also sang Shira and five different Pshatim in the Gemara. What Shira the Pari is saying until they came and miraculously, without anybody riding these cows, they returned the Aron. What were the strange things that they saw? So it says they come in the morning and they see that Dagoin, their Avodah Zarah, that they used to worship, was lying on the ground. So they picked it up, they put it up. The next day they come back and they see Dagoin is lying on the ground again. But this time already, it was beheaded. His head had been chopped off. Ushtei kapis yodav krusois. And the palms of its hands had been severed as well. By the way, the reason Dagoin is called Dagoin is because they used to worship the fish. So it's interesting, again, they used to worship Mazel Dagoin. So Mazel Dagoin was the Mazel, the constellation that they used to worship. Either way, it was in the image of a fish, some interesting looking creature. But the bottom line is, this was the Dagoin that they used to worship, and they see that it's Tzibrochen over there. So the pasuk continues, and the pasuk says, Al Cain, it was when they saw that the head and the two palms of the Dagoin were on the Miftan, that part of the room, they said, no one's ever allowed to walk there. That place is holy. Meaning, they realized that that must be a holy place if the head of their Getzka is lying there. This is a makam of chshivos. So they said that nobody is allowed to go there. So, Freit Rabbi Yochanan, Teresh Lakish. I don't understand. What happened over here? Avodah Zarah was Nishtabra Meila. So it was that. Nobody was Mavatl. Nobody in a rage threw it on the floor. It happened by itself. So if it happened by itself, you would think, according to you, Reish Lakish, it should now be Mutter. We should say that Avodah Zarah became Batal. What does the Pasuk say? Just the opposite. The Pasuk said they realized that this was so holy that that place where the head and the palms were, no one walks there. Nobody ever goes there. So what's going on over here? Isn't it a riot to me, Rabbi Yochanan? Says the Gemara, Amaloi. So Reish Lakish told Rabbi Yochanan, Misham Raya. You're bringing me a riot from this? Just the opposite. Let me tell you the rest of the story. What happened was, they realized Dagoin was shtosim at that point. They wrote off Dagoin right then and there. They realized it couldn't help itself. It's not going to help me. But they felt that the power of Dagoin must have been transferred to the Miftan. That part of the temple where Dagon's head and palms had gone. They said, Shafke Israel Dagon, Va'asa and Esav ala Mifnon, and it's for that reason they transferred the Kedusha. Either way, so we have a Machlekes, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. We always say this. Whenever there's Machlekes, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, you know you're learning a big sugya. So this is a big sugya of a Dezarish and a Shtabra Me'eleha. Rabbi Yochanan says Asura, Reish Lakish says Muteres. Rabbi Yochanan's big raya was from Shmuel Aleph Perakei, no less, from the story of Dagon the Plishtim when they captured the Aron Hashem. But says the Gemara, Luchura, there would seem to be a raya to Rabbi Yochanan from our Mishnah. Esvei, the Mishnah said, Hamoitz e Shivrei Tzlamim, Harei El Mutar. The Mishnah said, if somebody finds Shivrei Tzlamim, the halacha is it's mutar. Why is it mutar? Rashi said it's a Svek Sveka. But the bottom line is, Shivrei is Chav Masur. It sounds like the Diuk. The Gemara is Kasha Namar Aleph on Shmuel. What's the Diuk? Only Shivrei Tzlamim on mutar. But it sounds like Shivrei Avodah Zarah also. What's the Kasha? According to Reish Lakish, that any time Avodah Zarah falls, it's mutar. So what's the Shaila? Why in the world should it be awesome? I mean, Rabbi Yochanan said Gishmak. Bishlam, according to me, I'm going to tell you why only Shivrei Tzlamim is mutter, not Shivrei Avodah Zarah. Because every time you have Shivrei Tzlamim, there's a Svek Sveka. There's a Svek that was Avodah Zarah, and if it was Avodah Zarah, maybe it became Batal. By Shivrei Avodah Zarah, all you have is one Svek. What's the one Svek? Maybe it was Batal. Why is it only a Svek? L'chur, it's broken. The teretz is because breaking Avodah Zarah only constitutes Batal if somebody broke a Yadayim. But if it was Nishtabri Me'eleo, then it wasn't Nizbatel. As a result, it's still going to be Aser. So the Diak in the Mishnah is Meridik. Shivrei Tzlamim am Mutter, because you have a Svek Sveka. Shivrei Avodah Zarah is Aser, because all you have is once. But according to Reish Lakish, that even Avodah Kichavim Shen Nishtabri Me'eleo is going to be Mutter. So once I see Shivrei Avodah Zarah, it's for sure Mutter. What are the possibilities? Somebody broke it, he was Mevatel. The other side is, it broke by itself. He was right to mevatel it, because he realized it couldn't save itself. So Manav Shach is going to be mutter. So Rabbi Yochanan told Reish Lakish, Bishlam, according to me, the diak in the Mishnah is meiridik. The Mishnah said the halacha by Shivrei Tzlamim, because there you have a svek sveka. But by Shivrei Avodah Zarah, the Mishnah didn't say the halacha, because all you have is one suffik. What's the suffik again? The suffik is, maybe someone broke it be a dayim, maybe it broke by itself. If someone broke it be a dayim, it's mutter. If it broke by itself, it's going to be us. But according to Reish Lakish, that even Avodah Zarah should nishtaber me'leah is mutter. So there's no suffix that it's a vaday. If it's a vaday, so why did the Mishnah say Shivrei Tzlamim? The Mishnah should have said Shivrei Avodah Kechavim. So the Gemara says, you're right, it's true. Meaning, Reish Lakish is going to have to hold that even though the Mishnah said Shivrei Tzlamim, the Mishnah meant Shivrei Avodah Zarah as well, like Shmuel said. That it didn't mean Dafke Shivrei Tzlamim. It meant even Shivrei Avodah Zarah. But lo yitemo Shivrei Avodah Kechavim Asrum, ele eimo hot Tzlamim Atzman Asrum. So why did the Mishnah say Shivrei Tzlamim? So what did Shmuel say on Amar Aleph for the Seifa? Which was a little bit of a chiddush, because usually say koich teteirah. So the Gemara says a different reason. You want to know why the Mishnah said slamim, to tell me that only shivrei slamim are mutter, but slamim themselves are aser. All slamim are aser. Call that slamim the stomach of Rameir. It's damish like Rameir who held that all slamim are aser because Rameir is chay shlamiyuta, and there are slamim that people worship once a year, which would render every single tzlam in the world aser. But the bottom line is that you had a Mishnah, a three line Mishnah, three shittas in the Tanam. What's the halacha? We call that slamim. The next Mishnah literally tells me stomach Rameir. What was its way of saying stomach Rameir? Shivrei slamim amutter. Even though really shivrei Avodah Zarah also mutter. Shivrei slamim as opposed to regular slamim, which over there are going to be aser. But the Gemara goes and continues. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, I'll ask you now a kasha fakert. Let's ask kasha Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan that holds that shivrei Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah that was in Shtabra Me'eleah is what? Is aser l'chura midramei nishmul d'rabbanon. Can we prove from this Mishnah, not like you? How so? Lav omer Rameir. Didn't Rameir say tzlamim asura? Rameir said old slamim arasa. And what did Rameir say about shivrei slamim? Mutarim. So the Rabbanon, according to Rabbanon, let's make the analogy and say avodas kechavim nami, the same thing, ki asura, which then should lead into shvareh mutarim. Hear what the Gemara is saying? At the end of the day, we have a Mishnah, where the Mishnah says shivrei slamim amutar. The Mishnah we just said is slamim Rameir. Rameir holds slamim arasa, shivrei slamim amutar. So says the Gemara, doesn't it reason then to say that if avodah zarah is aser, shivrei avodah zarah should be mutter, just like when slamim arasa, shivrei slamim amutar? What's the obvious response Rabbi Yochanan is going to say? That by avodah zarah you only have one suffix, but by by Tzlomim, you have a Svek Sveka. That is exactly what he says. Hachi hashda hasim over there, Emer Avodim, Emer Loy Avodim, Tinsel Emer Avodim, Emer Bitlum, Avodis Kechavim, Vaday Avdua, Mi Yemer de Batla, Havish Sofik, Vaday, Vein Sofik, Moitzim Edei Vaday. Rabbi Yechanan says the Svara that we keep on saying in the whole Sugya. No, there's a Svara to say that Shivrei Tzlomim would be Mutter despite the fact Shivrei Avodazor would be Yasser. What's the Svara? The Svara is because it's only Mutter the Svara if someone was Mavatlin. And Rabbi Yechanan holds that bittul is only if you mevatel be a dayim. But if it was bottle, it was nishtaber meilel, it's not considered bittul. So by itself, where the whole isser is misafik, because there are people that are oivid, because we're being chayish lomiyuta. So now you have two sveikas. Safik if it was ever avodah zara. Safik if maybe someone was mevatel, maybe it broke because someone threw it on the floor. Svek sveik, it's going to be mutter. As opposed to avodah zara itself, where you only have one safik, you know for sure it's avodah zara. The question is, did it become mutter? So that the Gemara invokes the principle of ain't safik moitzim idei vaday. It's vaday aser, because it's vaday avodah zara. It's vaday the Rambam perek zayin alacha beis and luchas avodah zara. Because it's a suffix if somebody was mevatel. If somebody threw it on the floor, he was mevatel. If nobody threw it on the floor, he wasn't mevatel. You have a suffix. The ain't suffix meitzim idei vaday. The Gemara says, is that true? The ain't suffix meitzim idei vaday. Tanya relented the brayso. Chavish ameis. A chaver is someone that was becheskas that he gave chumas and meisers. He died. V'niach megura meleya peiros, and he left over a bundle of peiros. Afilim bnei yoyman. Even if the Peiros, a peiros that he literally just took into his house. We can assume that he gave chumas and maestras. So that after he dies, his family can eat from it. They don't have to give chumas and maestras again. It was vadei tevel. Sofik asrino. It's a sofik if he gave maestr. Sofik lo asrino. Sofik he didn't give maestr. Because there's sofik and maestr v'dei vadei. So how could you tell me there's an idea of ain't sofik maestr v'dei vadei? Which relates to our sugi, that's why Shivri Abay Dezoyra Aser. L'churu, sofik is maestr v'dei vadei. Because you see a chavir shemeis, you can assume that he gave Meiser, even though it was Vaday Aser Sofik that he gave. So the Gemara says, Hasan Vaday Vaday. No, by a Talmud Chacham, it's not a Sofik and a Vaday, it's a Vaday Vaday. The Vaday Asrinu, because he Vaday gave Meiser. Rab Chaninu Chazot, Rab Chaninu Chazot, Chazok al Chavish, and he Moitzah Dovah, and he Mesukah Mitachas Yodah. There's a Chazok that a Talmud Chacham, the second he has an opportunity to give Meiser, he gives it right away. So even though it's Bnei Yoimam, he died, it doesn't matter, we can assume for sure that he gave Meiser. You buy the same alternatively, Safik or Safik, it's really a Safik and a Safik. Efshir, the Avad, Kid Rav Oishio, because it's possible that this was actually never chayv in Trumas Meisres. The Amar Rav Oishio famously said, Mar Madam al Tfuasai, Umachnisa b'moichelot. There's a way for a person to circumvent. You can somehow circumvent the chayv of Trumas Meisres. How do you do that? You take the Tfu, you bring it into your house before it's Nikmar Malachtoi, and even though you can't eat an Achilas Kva, but you could eat an Achilas Aroi, which means you can give it to your behemoth, and Kadesh Dei Behemtoi Chalas, you can give it to your behemoth, and you're not going to be Chayiv Meisers. The bottom line is, the Gemara says it's not a question of Sofik and Vaday. It's a question of either Sofik and Sofik, or Vaday and Vaday. What's the side that it should be Vaday and Vaday? It was Vaday Tevel, but there's a Chazoka, there's a Vaday that the Chaver gave Chumas and Meisers, or it was only a Sofik if it was Tevel. All Tevel is really a Sofik Tevel, because maybe the person had a way to circumvent the chiyuv of chumas and maestras. So maybe he brought it into his house in a way where there was never a chiyuv. If there was never a chiyuv, it was only a safik tevel. Now there's a safik that he's a chaver, and a chaver usually gives chumas and maestras. So either it's a vade vade, or it's a safik. Either way, you don't have to worry about it. Exhale. So before we go weiter with the shiur from 7.5 years ago, I just want to make a disclaimer, and that is that the next 45 minutes or so is going to be a raid bite related to the topic of Cholov Stam. Now, Cholov Stam is a topic that has disproportionately captured the imagination and the fascination of Lomdei Torah and Yidden throughout the world. The topic of the raid bite is going to be a general overview of the sugya, beginning with the Mishnayos that we recently learned in the second parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah, going through some of the Shitas HaRishonim, through the early Achronim, such as the Prichadosh and the Chassam Sofer, and then culminating with the landmark tshuva that Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote in his Igros Moshe Yerudei Chelek Aleph. Now, just to be clear, l'hashlamas ha'inyan, there is going to be another raid bite, Cholov Stam part 2, if you wish, that will be posted to tomorrow's daf. Additionally, the sugya of Cholov Stam
over the last several years shifted a little bit. Meaning, when Rav Moshe wrote his tshuva regarding Chalav Snam, the issue that he was addressing was the sugyas that we're learning, and that is the Mishnah in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, Chalav Shechol Vayakum De'en Yisrael Reyeu, where Chazal instituted a takonas chachamim that you're not allowed to drink Chalav Akum. There is a new shaila that emerged, and that is related not to Maseches Avodah Zarah, not to the Takanas Chazal of Chalav Akum, but that's actually related to Maseches Chulin, Perek Elu Treifas. It's related to a Da'iraisa Diga Shaila, and it's related to the fact that there's a certain procedure that's done to one of the stomachs of animals, which could potentially render the animal a treifa, which would make the milk that comes from that animal into a chalav treifa. That inyan is something that we, Be'ezus Hashem, learned together as a chabura when Daf Yomi learned Masech Tashchulin in the previous machzer, and the associated raid bites are on Chulin Daf Nun Dalet, Chulin Daf Nun Hey. They're titled The Other Chalav Stam Issue or something like that. Either way, that too has a part one and a part two. So again, La Shlomas HaInyan, there are the two raid bites that we have here in Maseches Avodah Zarah, the other two raid bites that we did in Maseches Chulin. But again, the broader disclaimer is that what we do is we learn the daf together with raid. This is not La Halacha. It's certainly not Halacha La Maisa. Additionally, again, when you talk about something like Chalav Stam, we have to appreciate that there are different minhagim within Klal Yisrael, Yisrael Kedoshim Heim, and there are many machnas amongst Klal Yisrael that view Chalav Stam as being something that transcends the mere halacha. Frat, Chassidei Chabad, a very, very machmer when it comes to this inyan. And again, everyone has al mi lismoich. The objective of what we're doing is merely to present this more from a basic halachic perspective. Again, shaloi aliba de hilchasa, certainly shaloi aliba de halacha lemaisa. And on that note, we continue along with the shir from 7.5 years ago. Either way, the last festa inyan that's in Perakei Mamidin is the sugya of Chalav Yisrael, Chalav Akum, Chalav Stam, Chalav Companies. So just a little bit of a background as it relates to this sugya. So again, this is not a halachic platform. It's a Daf Yomi / Raid platform. So in that context and in that vein, you know, we learn through the Gemaras and really all the Gemaras or most of the Gemaras that touch upon the sugya of Chalav Yisrael are right here. They were in the Daf Yomi last week. So just go through a little bit of the Inyanim to have a little bit of appreciation. So when you learn the sugya of Chalav Akum, really it begins with a Mishnah on Daf Lamed Hei Yomid Beis. The Mishnah said, "Ve'elu dvarim shaloyv dekechavim asurin, ve'en isurin isra ana." The following are dvarim shaloyv dekechavim, which are aser. However, they're only aser b'achila or aser b'shtiya. Ve'en isurin b'ana. However, they're not aser b'ana. And the first thing that the Mishnah says is chalav shechol v'oivet kechavim ve'en yisrael reyeu. If a guy in oivet kechavim milks a cow, ve'en yisrael reyeu, and there's no yid that saw the guy milk the cow, the halacha is it's asurin. However, ve'en isurin isra'ana. And the Gemara right away says chalav v'may nechashlo. Why? Why should chalav be aser? So, a little bit of a shakla v'taya, and at the end, what the Gemara says is, the chashash is, we're concerned that maybe the guy took a little bit of chalav from a behemoth tmeya, and he was ma'aravit with the chalav of the cow, meaning milk of a cow was kosher. And from that standpoint, there's no reason that if a guy milks a cow, it should pose any problems in halacha. The problem is that milk of a non-kosher animal is non-kosher. And being that non-Jews eat non-kosher food, it's possible that they milked the animal. The guy may have milked the chazer, milked the dog, and been ma'ariv some of that milk together with the kosher milk. So if a yid didn't see the guy milking the cow, the Mishnah says, asurin v'eini asurin isra'ano, and the reason is because there's a chashash that there might be in it a taroivis of chalav tamei. Now, it's just interesting to note that we spoke a whole week learning about bishul akum, pas akum, pas palter, shemen akum, stam yenon, and there, those isurim, with the exception of Bishul, were from the Yud Ches Dvarim. So these were from the Takana of the Yud Ches Dvarim, Kisharobu Talmidei Beshamim Talmidei Besil, where the Gemara says that Afil El Yob Beis Dina, even if they would come and they would try to uproot it, they wouldn't have an ability to uproot it. And the Yud Ches Dvarim has a special Chumr in Halacha, and it really permeates a lot of the things that we're not allowed to do because of their association with the Goyim. And the primary reason that the Chachamim instituted the Yud Ches Dvarim was Mishum Chasnos. We don't want
that we shouldn't socialize with them, lest that lead to intermarriage. Cholov has nothing to do with Yud Ches Dvar. Cholov, the Gemara doesn't say, it's not Daniel Ubez Dinoy. It was a simple, practical chash. They were worried that maybe the guy was ma'ar of a little bit of Cholov Tomei, and together with this kosher milk, and it's for that reason, it's Asher. That was the first Mishnah. The second Mishnah was the Mishnah Daf Lama Tes Amid Beis. And that Mishnah discussed the Elu Mutarim Achilo. So there was a list on Chav Tes Amid Beis of Dvarim Shalayv Tichavim that are Asher, and even Asabana. Then there's the list on Daf Lam, Hey Yom Adbeis, they're only Asabachil, they're not Asabana. Then there was the third list. The third list was Ve'elu Mutar Bachil. And the first thing that the Mishnah says is Cholov Shechov Ve'evi Kechavin Ve'isro Reyei. If a guy milks a cow, and a Yid was watching the guy milk the cow, there the halacha is, it's going to be mutter. Meaning not all Cholov Shechov Ve'akum is also. Cholov Shechov Ve'akum Ve'en Yisro Reyei, that's the Mishnah, Ve'dazar Lam and Hey Yom Adbeis, that Cholov is also. Over there, it's mutter. And what's the reason? Pashit, the reason is very simple. Because the whole reason Cholov Shechov Akum is Aser is because there's a chash that there might be in it a tarovis of Cholov from a Beim et Meir. So if a Yid didn't see, so you have to be chayish, you have to suspect. But to the extent that a Yid saw, there's nothing to be concerned. He saw. So if he saw, you have a mashkiach, there's nothing to worry about. In that case, it's going to be mutter. Stating that, there's a very important Gemara, and a Gemara that's kedai for us to learn together inside. Tanino, Lahadu Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara says that this Mishnah is very bekitzer. It supports something that's in a braisa. A Yid could sit next to the Eder of an Ovid Kechavim, where the Ovid Kechavim has his animals. The guy can milk the cow for him and bring it for him. He doesn't have to worry. Now, Rashi explains. We're talking about a Yid who's sitting beside Edra Shalevi Kechavim, but he can't physically see the guy milking the cow. If he could see the guy milking the cow, that's the mission. When he can't see the guy milking the cow, still, it's okay. As long as he's sitting next to him, that's going to be enough. But the Gemara says, I don't understand. Hey, Chidami, what's going on over here? Are we talking about an Eder? Where there's no animal that's Tamei Pshita. It's posh that it should be okay. And if we're talking about an Eder that hasn't it animals that are Tamei, am I? Why is it okay? If the Yid can't see it, just because he's sitting in front, that's enough that it should be okay. Zok, the Gemara Lo'ilam, Dikud Dover Tamei. It's talking about where there was a Dover Tamei. And if the Yid would stand, he'd be able to see. But Vichy Yosef, when he's sitting, Lo'i Chazilei, he can't see. Being that when he's sitting, and he's sitting right now, he can't see it. We should be concerned. Maybe he's going to bring Chol of Tamei, and he's going to mix it, because there is a Behemoth Meyo in the Eder, so he doesn't know for sure. Kamash Malon, even the Kichkoi Chazilei, mean that if he was standing, he would be able to see. Irsusi Mirsas, the magic words, it creates a fear in the Oivik Chavim, Veloy Ma'ariv Be, and we can be comfortable that there's no way in the world that he was going to be ma'ariv. So at first glance, we have two Mishnahs and a Braisa. The first Mishnah is Chalav Shechol Ve'yakim Ve'in Yisro Re'eyo. What's the halacha? It's from the Dvarim that are Asurim, the In Yisro Nisra Ano. Chalav L'may Nechesh L'Freik the Gemara. We're concerned there might be in it a Taruvis of Chalav Tameh. There's another Mishnah, Lamates Amid Beis. Chalav Shechol Ve'yakim Ve'Yisro Re'eyo. Over there it's Mutter. Because there is no Chash Taruvis of a Cholva behemet meya as a result of the mutter. And then there's a braisa. The braisa says that the Yid actually doesn't have to physically see the guy milking the cow. But Yoshev Yisrael b'tzad edrei shalovik kechavim va'ovik kechavim cholov loy umevi loy v'ni chosh. As long as he's sitting there, even though he can't see it, that's enough. And the Gemara said the braisa is talking about where there's a behemet meya in the eder. So technically, there's a clear and present danger. Still, you don't have to worry about it. The reason is because being that the guy knows the Yid's there and he's watching to make sure that there's no cholov of a behemoth tmeya inside this milk, irsusi mirsas v'loy ma'arve. That's enough to make us comfortable for everything to be okay. Now the Gemara, when it discussed this Braisa, so the Gemara wasn't sure what the case of the Braisa was. The Yid is sitting beside Edra Shalavi Kechavim. The guy can milk it even though he can't see any Chayshish. And the Gemara said, Eid Alekha Dava Tami Be'edra. If the Braisa is talking about where there was no behemoth tmeya at all in the Eder, so the Gemara said, Pshita, then it should be Pashat. The Mardchai, the Beis Yosef brings the Mardchai, says that Yesh Meichichen, there were people that wanted to bring a raya from here, that the only time you need that a Yisrael should even be Yoshev Bitzad Edro Shalevi Kechavim, the only time you ever need a Yid to be involved in a guy milking a cow, that's only if there was a behemoth tmeya in the Eder. But if there was no behemoth tmeya anywhere in the Eder, Cholov Akum is mutter. You have nothing to worry about. Why? Because that's what the Gemara said. The Gemara said, Hey Chidami, Ida Leka Dover Tami Be'edroi Pshita. It sounds like if there's no Dover Tami in the Eder, There's nothing to worry about. Meaning the whole braiso that you need a Yisrael to at least be Yoshev beside Edrash Shalevi Kechavim. Where Kamash Malon or Susi Mirsa said, even though he doesn't see it, it's going to be okay. But that all starts. It has the pretense that there's a behemoth tmeya in the Eder. But to the extent there's no behemoth tmeya in the Eder, the Gemara said pshita. It sounds like it's not going to be an issue as well. But says the Mardchai, it's a toyes gadol. They made a mistake, those yesh mechichen. Because not only does the Braisa not support that opinion, the Braisa shteit punkt verkehrt. Because what did the Braisa say? The Gemara said, e the leka dover tomi be'edroi pshita. What does pshita mean? It's poshut alocha the braisa. It's poshut that if Yisrael is yoshev b'tzad eder, then it's going to be okay. If it's true that if there's no behemoth may in the eder, you don't need Yisrael to be yoshev b'tzad edre at all, then the Gemara should ask the masber kasha. The Gemara should have said either lack of behemoth meyo. Why do you need a yid to be sitting there? It's poshut. That's not what the braisa means. The braisa didn't say that. The Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara said either lack of behemoth meyo but toich edre pshita. Pshita meaning avadi, you need a yid to be there. So says the Mardchai, and he says the kema tzasi b'rabenu peretz, that the halacha is that if a guy is milking a cow, even if there's no behemoth tmeya b'toich edroi, if there was no yisrael that was yoshev beside edroi, there was no ursusi mirsas, the halacha is that the cholov is going to be aser. And what's the raya? That raya. This gemara right here on Lamed Tes on the base. Then it says that the Sharei Dura. So the Sharei Dura was a Talmud of the Meram in Rotenberg. And the Sharei Dura brings as follows. Cholav shechol v'goy. Milk that was milked by a goy. Ve'en yisrael reyeu. And there was no yid watching. And again, what does it mean there was no yid watching? He didn't see the chaliva, or he wasn't even bitzad edroi to create irsusi mirsas. Afilu ein behemet tmei b'dir. Even if there's no behemet tmei in the deer, aser. Why? And says the Sharidura, you know who says this? Kach Kosav Rashi. It comes from Rashi. Rashi HaKodesh, he's the one that said this halacha. The Psak halacha of the Mardchai. So you have a Mardchai, but Kach Kosav Rabbeinu Peretz. You have a Sharidura, and he says Kach Kosav Rashi, that this halacha, that Chol of Akum is also, is true, even if we know for sure that there's no behemoth tmeya in the deer. So even if there's no behemoth tmeya in the deer, still the halacha is going to be that if there was no Yisro Reyeu, Mishnah, Avodazor, Lamed Hey, Amed Beis, it's going to be Aser. The only time it's going to be Mutter is if Yisrael either sees the actual Chaliva, or like the Braisa says, he's Yoshev Bitzad Edroi, he creates a scenario of Irsusi Mis. Stating that, the Prichodosh in Simin Kuf Tezvav wrote a very, very, very famous commentary on this Shitas HaMordchai, on this Shitas Rashi, that's brought in the Shari Dura. And the Prichodosh said as follows. He said, that's Poshet, that even though the Mordchai Kachos Rabbeinu Peretz and the Shari Dura, Kachos of Rashi said that the halacha is that even if there's no behemoth tmei in the deer, you need Yisro Reyeu. That's only true if there's at least a behemoth tmei somewhere in the shtetl, where there's some realm of possibility that maybe the guy would have taken a little bit of chol of tamei and he would have been ma'arivit together with the milk of the cow. But let's say you had a hechetimtza where there's absolutely positively no chash in the world. There's no way, there's no realm of possibility that maybe a guy could have been ma'ariv a little bit of chala from a behemoth meya. Over there said the Bichadash, it's poshit ledina that it's going to be okay. In other words, the chiddush of the Mardchai, the kachos of Rabbeinu Peretz, and of the Sharidur, the kachos of Rashi, is that even though there's no behemoth meya in the deer, but there's still a chash. The chash is maybe the guy took milk from somewhere else. Maybe he brought it from a different eider, from a different deer. It's a reasonable chash. So fashtetzi, you have to be concerned. It's a little more far-fetched, but it's reasonable. And that's what he was saying. You have to think sometimes the unthinkable. You even have to be chayish for that. But let's say there is no unthinkable. There's nothing to think because there's no behemoth tmeya in the deer at all. Even over there said the Prichadash, it's going to be poshit, that the halacha is going to be, that it's going to be mutter. And the emes is that the Prichadash was saying a lumdus. And there's a tifkai to what the Prichadash was saying. And that is as follows. And this is important in understanding, you know, the punchline of everything we're going to get to. And that is that there's certain takanas that the Chachamim made which were unequivocally imposed. Meaning, it's what we know as they were made with Avashav Minyan based on the Gemara in Be'ed Daf Hei, where the Chachamim said that we're going to impose a takana. We're imposing it for a certain reason, but don't care about the reason. The bottom line is, now that we impose this takon, it's always going to be awesome. A classic example of that is Gvina. Gvina's Akum, which is a separate sugya from Cholav Akum. Gvina's Akum, which is awesome. Over there, the Chachamim said that Gvina's Akum is always going to be awesome. It's a Dovah Shebet Minyan, and even though the Gemara comes out, Pashtis, the reason Gvina's Akum is awesome, Nation Ma'am, the Nice of the Kevish on the Veil, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that today, which the Ovdei Kavim don't use Kevish on the Veil, let's say they use certain grasses and herbs, things that are kosher, doesn't matter, it's still going to be awesome. Because even though the whole takon of Gvina's Akum was because of the Chashash Kevish on the Veil, it doesn't matter. Halacha l'maisa, they made the takon, it's a Dovah Shebet Minyan, it's automatically, unequivocally going to be awesome. That was the takon of Gvina. Then you find takonas that the Chachamim made that really zilbas a taima. And a classic example, something we learned together last week, is Murius. Murius was a certain fish tafshel, where Murius, the Chachamim said, was Asur. It was in the first Mishnah. Elu Dvarim that Asurim, Visurim Misur Ano, according to Rameir. So Murius is very, very chomer. Stating that, the Gemara told a story. There was a ship of Muriusa that came to the port of Akko. And Rav Abba said, watch the ship, make sure they're not ma'ar of any yayin. So Rava was there. What was Rava doing in Akko? Yaakov Emden says, you see that all the big prodigies in Babel used to go to learn in Eretz Yisrael for a little time. But either way, Rav is in Eretz Yisrael. So he said, Adu Idna Man Notra. He said, who was watching the fish until now? So Rav Abba said, I'm not worried about it till now. He says, the main nechashla. Are you worried they may have mixed a little bit of wine? It's not a real chash. He says, wine is expensive where this Murius comes from. Why would they do it? It's silly. It's insane. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. And Rav Abba paskin that even though Murius is osir, but it's all because of a chash, there might be a tarevis of yain. Now there's no chash. There's no tarevis of yain. As a result, Rav Abba paskin, this is going to be okay. Now, obviously said to Prichadosh, Murius wasn't a Davashev Minyan. Because if Murius was like Vina, it was a Davashev Minyan. Who cares you don't have a Chash? You could have 500 Svaras. Today, there's no reason Gvina's Akim should be Aser. They're not using Kebish on the Veil, but the Chachamim said Gvina's Akim is Aser. So you see, there's two types of Takonas. There's a Takon of Gvina, where Gvina is a Davashev Minyan. It could be Batal Atam, like Batar HaIsser. The Isser is something that's Chayvikayim, Ludoire Doris. It's always going to be Aser. And then you have something like Murius. Murius, which is only Aser to the extent there's a real Chash. But if there's no Chash, such as in that famous boat of Murius that came to the port of Akko, Rav Abba Paskin, based on a cheshbon that he made, that the Ovdei Chachamim would have been financially disincentivized from being Ma'ar of Yain. He was comfortable with that. That was enough for him to say that Murius is not going to be a problem. So said the Prichadosh, it's pasha to me that Cholov falls under the category of Murius, not under the category of Gvina. And he says the whole sugya shries that. He says, because you see that the level of oversight you have to have for Cholav really depends on how much of a chash there is. If ain Yisrael Reyeyu, it's Aser. If Yisrael Reyeyu, then it becomes Mutas. You see, Cholav didn't just become Aser because it depends on Yisrael Reyeyu and Yisrael Reyeyu. And if he's sitting and he's not sitting and there's a Dover Tame or there's no Dover Tame, all these subtleties and Se'ife Katan all make sense in a Murius world. In a world where the Iser is not a Dover Shem Minyan. But to the extent that the Iser is a Dover Shem Minyan, so Zok the Prichadash, it's Pashit, that Cholav was never a Dover Shem Minyan. Cholav was only and if that's the case, where there's no chash in the world, that there's a taroivis of cholav tame inside this cholav akum, it's going to be mutter. I the Mardchai, the kachos of Rabbeinu Peretz, I the Shairuduf, kachos of Rashi, they were talking about where there is no chashash at all. Where there is a chash. Where maybe, even though in the Eder itself, there was no behemoth Meria, but maybe the guy brought it from someplace else. Maybe he took it from there. Maybe he had it in the pail, when he started milking it. You never know where it was. The bottom line is, therefore, these Rishayim held, you have to be chayish. And Enochanami, Prichadosh said, Avadi, you have to be chayish. But to the extent that there's no chash at all, it's not going to be a problem. Then the Prichadosh for his eyes, he says, Aklav, bottom line, Ha'oil, that be'ir shalai nitzah sham chalav tami. If you live in a city, that there's no chalav tami. Oi, shehi yoyse be'yoyke mi chalav tar. Or there is chalav tami, but it's more expensive than chalav tar, like in the case of Murius. Mutter liknais mea akum chalav shechalvay beloi rias Yisrael klal. It would be mutter to buy chalav akum even though no yid ever saw it. Vechei matzasi aminik pashit poi Amsterdam. He said, I've seen the Prichadosh in Amsterdam. Prichadosh didn't live in Amsterdam, but when he was in Amsterdam, he saw that they used to eat that type of chalav akum. Vechei nohakti ani gamkein. I did the same thing. Gam zulas ktsas yichida and his arm. He said, there were yichidim that were machmer, but other than the yichidim that were machmer, says the Prichadosh, I myself felt that to the extent that there's no behemet meya at all, or it's more expensive than the chol of a behemet meya, in that case, it's going to be okay. But it's yodua that the chassam sofer in a tshuva, it's in yoridea, chelik aleph, tshuva kuv zayin. He was asked the shaila as well. He was asked the shaila by a Talmud, and the Talmud wanted to know whether or not, I'll read it to you inside, b'mok
Makoim Uzman She'ein Behem Tmeya Haruya Lachlev Matsu Beneim Kup Kibizmanu Mekoimis Elo She Behemois Hatmeim Hamitsuyim Gamma Goyim Memas and Chelvam.
Times like today, Chassam Sofer was writing, where it's rare that you'll ever find Chalav Behemet Meya, even the Ovdei Kechavim are mollus, they find it disgusting. Is there still going to be an Isser Chalav Akum, or is there not going to be an Isser Chalav Akum? Zok the Chassam Sofer, I'm going to answer the Kasha. But really, in order to answer the Kasha, I'm going to take one tiny step backwards. And that is, we mentioned the Shita Samordchai V'Kachkos Ravina Peretz. And the Shari Yidur V'Kachkos of Rashi. If you look in the Achroinim, everyone mutches, who's this Rashi? Kachkos of Rashi? Where is this Rashi? And the Chassam Sofer himself says, Ulai b'tshuva. Maybe it's in a tshuva somewhere. Maybe Rashi wrote a tshuva. We don't have this tshuva. But where did Rashi ever say that the halacha of Cholav Shechov Vayakum, the En Yisroel Rayeyu, is going to be true even if there's no behemet meya inside the deer? Says the Chassam Sofer, it's pasha where this Rashi is. And you know this Rashi is? It's right in front of us. We're looking it in the eye. And the Chassam Sofer says that after I tell you my beer in Rashi, he fears this with a lashon kol ayin roya. Every ayin roya yovin shezed das Rashi b'mesek l'shoinoi. What's this Rashi? The Gemara, right in the beginning of the sugya of Gvinas Akum, of Vidazar Daflam and Hamid Beis. So the Gemara says, why is Gvinas Akum also? Now, by the way, just as an aside, so no one should get confused, Gvinas Akum is also, if Cholav Akum is also, why should Gvinas Akum not be also? It's because of a Metzias. The Metzias is that only Cholav of a Behemoth Tahira can turn into cheese. But Cholav of a Behemoth Tmeya cannot become cheese. So to the extent that it's Gvina, you know it's not a Behemoth Tmeya. And the whole Shash Cholav is only if there's a Shash Behemoth Tmeya. So the point is that there's no Isser Cholav, it's a Nukhshash. So if it's a Nukhshash, why is it also? And the Gemara gave five or six Pshatim, why is it that Gvinas Akum is also? The first Pshat that the Gemara said was Mishum Nikor. We're worried that maybe the cheese, while it was milk, a nachash came and it was matel eres inside the milk. Or maybe even after it was formed as cheese, while it was moist, based on the Mishnah in Trumas, while it was moist, is a chash giloy even with certain foods. So maybe the snake went and took a bite out of the cheese and it was matel a little bit of eres. But the Gemara says that can't be true. It's not a possibility because we know that anything that a nochash is matel eres into can harden. So if I have a hard piece of cheese, at that point, the chash megulin, the chash gilui, nikur, is no longer applicable. So freik the Gemara, so if that's the case, why isn't it aser? Zok the Gemara, you want, no, it's aser. Amar Rav Chanina, lefishi efshaloi beloi tzichtzuche cholav. The reason it's aser, because it's not possible that there's no tzichtzuche cholav. And there's a big machlek, is Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, had to understand Poshup Shan in this Gemara. And this Gemara right here played a tremendous role in a lot of the halacha lemaisa as it relates to this subject. And that is, Rashi understood, lefishi efshaloi beloi tzichtzuche cholav means as follows. It's true. When you make cheese, it's obvious then that the milk that was used was kosher milk, because non-kosher milk can turn into cheese. But at the same time, the metzias is that when you make cheese, not all the milk turns into cheese. And there's always going to be a little bit of milk, the whey, that's not going to turn into cheese. That milk may have in it a little bit of chalav tameh. What are you going to tell me? It's pasha, there's no chalav tameh? How do I know? Because otherwise it wouldn't have been cheese? That's true, but there's a little bit of milk that didn't turn into cheese. So maybe that chalav hasn't it a little bit of chalav tameh? If that chalik and hasn't a little bit of tameh, you have to be chayish for chalav tameh. So it says Rashi, you want to know why Gvinas Akum is aser. The Gemara thought it was related to giloy. The Gemara asked the kasha, once it's dry, there can't be eris anymore. Says the Gemara, Amar Rab Chanina, and really it should say, Elo Amar Rab Chanina. Rab Chanina says, you're right, a whole new shot. You Gvinas Akum is aser because every Gvina, there's a chash chalav akum. I thought Gvinas Akum is only doing chalav akum because to the extent it turned into cheese, we know for sure there was no chalav tameh. That would be true, kind of Rav Chanina, if all the milk would turn into cheese. But being that there's a little bit of milk that doesn't turn into cheese, you have to be concerned for that little bit of milk. And that little bit of milk might be in the tzuchim. There might be a little bit in the cheese. When you eat the cheese, you may take a little bit of that milk inside with you. And it's for that reason that it's going to be an aser. Tosfos says, because I don't understand. First he asks a Pshat Gemara in Rashi, but then he asks a famous kasha. V'oid, da'atu michai shinun da'ivik kechavim shayta hava? Are we worried about an ovik kechavim that's a fool? She'iru bei cholav tamei? Afa pisha hu yoidea she'ina yoimid? We're talking about a guy that was making cheese. He knew the cholav tamei can't become cheese. So why would he put cholav tamei? The whole reason why cholav akum is also because he's concerned maybe there's a tarovis of cholav tamei. So If you have a guy who's making cheese, and you know for sure that the chalav tummy won't turn into cheese, so why would he put chalav? There's only one possibility. He's a fool. He's a shaita. So freik toisvis, michai shinon, doivet kachavim, shaita hava, she'iru bei chalav tummy, lekach birsh rabbeinotam. Rabbeinotam said a whole different shot. We're not worried that there might be chalav akum inside the tzichtzuchim. What we're worried about is there might be eris inside the tzichtzuchim. It's not Ella Amar Rab Chanina. He's going back with the original pshat of Gilui. That's what Rabbeinu Tam learned the sugya. But the bottom line is, Rabbeinu Tam asked the Festa Kasha and Rashi. He said, I don't understand. Why you, Rashi? How could you tell me? The Rab Chanina is saying that Kvinas Akim is also because you're worried about a little bit of Cholav. That Cholav for sure is mutter. Why? Because the whole reason Cholav Akim is ever also because there's a chashash, there might be a teroivis of Cholav Tame. This guy knew he was making cheese. So if he was knew he was making cheese, then it's poshit that he never was ma'ar of Cholav Tame. So why in the world should it be also? Says the Chassam Soif. So what's Pshat Rashi? What did Rashi think? So, Chassam Soif, you know what Rashi thought? Rashi must have held that the Issachal of Akum is a Dovah Shebeminyan. And the Issachal of Akum is Osir automatically. And once the Chachamim said that Chalav Shechol Vayakum Ein Yisrael Reyeyu was Osir, it is always going to be Osir. There's never going to be a time that it's not going to be Osir. And it's for that reason, and Chanam Rabbeinu Tam's Gerecht. Rabbeinu Tam, Taina, we worried about a Shaita? No, we're not worried about a Shaita. I'm asking. That's not the point. The point is not that I think that the guy was actually Ma'ar of Chalav. I don't think he was Ma'ar of Chalav Tameh. He wasn't Ma'ar of Chalav Tameh. He wasn't. But it doesn't matter. This Chalav, if this Chalav, it should be awesome. I, the Chassam Sofer, said, you're going to ask me a kasha, if that's the case, that all Chalav Akum, the Ein Yisrael Reyu, was Aser, even if you know for sure there's no Taroivis. So why then is there a whole sugi about Gvinas Akum? It's partial Gvinas Akum should be Aser. Because Gvina was always Chalav. Bishloim, if the only time Chalav Akum is Aser is when there is a realm of possibility that maybe there's Taroivis of Chalav Tameh. So by Gvina, ordinarily, you wouldn't have the chash. The only tzad is the tzichtzuchim, which is Rav Chanina's pshat, the way Rashi learned the Gemara. But if you're going to tell me that Chol of Akim is a Dovah Shebe Minyan, and the Chassam Sofer felt that way very passionately, so if that's the case, what's the whole sugya of Gvina? So the Chassam Sofer said, you have to say that it's true. Chol of was a Dovah Shebe Minyan, but it was only Kol Kametz Chol of. As long as it's Chol of, there's a Dovah Shebe Minyan. But once the Chol of takes on a new form, it turns into Gvina, it's no longer Chol of anymore. At that point, time of the Chassam Sofer, it's no longer Chol of. If it's no longer Chol of, it's not going to be a problem. And the Nidin in this Gemara was the Tzichtzuchi Cholav. How do you look at it? You look at it as Cholav? Or do you look at it as Gvina? And that was the Shaila of Chanina held it was Cholav according to Rashi. We made a time argued. But in terms of the Yesoid, says Tchassam Soifer, it's Zichwa Rashi meant. Zok Tchassam Soifer, it's Poshit. That's the Shari Dura's Rashi. Shari Dura had a Rashi that Rashi held that even if there's no Behemoth Tmei and the deer is still Cholav Akum, is going to be Osir. Time is developed. Where in the world did the Shari Dura get this? For Ulai Betshuva. That's what the Achreinim say. Maybe it's a Rashi in a Tshuva. Zok Tchassam Soifer, it's not a Rashi in a Tshuva. It's a Rashi and Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. It's Pashat Adam Oid. That's what Rashi meant. Bottom line, if that's the case, we have a machloikis between Ashli Ravavri. We have the Prichodosh on the one hand, the Prichodosh in Yeriday, or Kuf Tezvav, where the Prichodosh held that the whole sugi of Chol of Akum shries that it wasn't the Dovah Shabbat. So if it wasn't Dovah Shabbat, it's like Murias. So Kol Keichod, there's a real chash that maybe there's a Tarevis of Chol of Tameh, you have to be concerned about Chol of Tameh. But if there's no chash that there's a Tarevis of Chol of Tameh, you don't have to be concerned. I, the Marcha, and the Rabbeinu Peret, and the Sharidur, and Rashi, they were just talking about where there was no Chol of Tameh in the Eder. But there was Chol of Tameh in the city. He may have been incentivized to put Chol of Tameh over there. They held you have to be chayish, and they had a riot from the Brice, from the whole Gemara, Lamed Tesam Adbeis. But if there's no chash at all, it's poshut, the Prichadosh held, it's not going to be a problem. And he said he saw the minig in Amsterdam was that way. And by the way, the Prichadosh says that he saw the Radvaz as a tshuva, with the Radvaz paskin the same way. The Chassam Sofer, however, argued. The Chassam Sofer held that it was a Dovah Shebe Minyan. And the Rashi that the Shari Dura brings is no other than a Rashi and Avodah Zarah, Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. And who are we to go connected a Rashi? And the bottom line is, it's zikr shitas Rashi that it was a Dovah Shebe Minyan and it's going to be usher, even where there's no behemoth tmeya at all. It's viewed as gvinas akum, not as murias. So even if the guy is maybe disincentivized financially, could come to you with 900 cheshbonos, but at the end of the day, cholav akum she'en yisrael re'eyu is going to be unequivocally. There's no ifs, buts, or whens, no questions asked that are going to be asked. It's interesting, by the way, the Chassam Sofer says that he saw the Prichodosh said that he saw in Amsterdam that
there was such a minig, and he says it's Pashit that there was a Portuguese community that lived in Amsterdam. They were from the Anusim, from the Megarshei Sfarad, and he said they followed them in Hogem of the Radvaz, and it's Pashit, that's where they were going. They were going like the Radvaz. But he says, V'lei Silchas HaKavasi, not for us. We live in the Ashkenazi world, Chassam Sofer said. We don't follow the Messiah of the Radvaz. We have Unzer Messiah, and the bottom line is, that relates to Unzer Rabbein. It's a Mardchai, and it's Rabbeinu Peretz. It's Pashit. That's what Rashi meant that the Shayadura brings. The Halach is, we're going to view it as a Dover Shebeminyan. Now, it's interesting that the Aruch HaShulchan in Siman Kuf Tezvav wrote a very fire and brimstone piece in middle of discussing the halachas of Chol of Akum as it relates to bottom line. You have the Prichadish on the one side and you have the Chassam Sofer on the other side. And he said, he came out based on the Yukim and Poiskim that the Ikka was like the Chassam Sofer. The Ikka wasn't like the Prichadish. And he says, V'hinei al-koponim nizbarer delefi das ko rabiseinu shehivanu afilu bimekoimis loishkiach klal dover tomi be'ir ba'ofen she'en chshash l'taruvis chol of tomi mikom mokim osir kisha yisro loy omad al-koponim ibachutz bishasa chaliva oishie yoitze v'nichas. But something Al Kapanim would have to do. And then he writes, and this is not like one of the G'dayli Achreinim was very Meirich. And then forwarding, he says, he says, there are many people that they're noyig, like they're pirates together when it comes to this. And everyone has a maisel, they know someone that did it. They don't know. Shachamurim devrei soifer me devrei Torah. Va'atamud chacham sha'asa came. The Talmud chacham that did that. Yisa avoyno yisa. May Hashem forgive his avera. Ve'kivan shenifsak le'iser betur v'shulchan aruch. Ve'chol gedoli achroinim mi yuchal lahayis panav ulamayli tayves nafshay v'shoyme nafshay yirchach esatzmi mizeh. So the Aruch HaShulchan, the grace of Poisek that everybody followed, tainid that it's poshutim that we're going to be machriya between the prichodesh and the chassam soifer as it relates to halacha l'maisa. To follow the Chassam Sofer, and then he brings a story of Maisa Shahaya Kachaya, where there was a Yid who used to travel, used to always, you know, drink milk, I guess probably with his coffee every morning, and he says that Pamachas, they found out that he was using Shuman Chazir, and he says it happened because this person went Kinega, this Takonis Chachamim. Bottom line is, that's the Hachra of the Aruch HaShulchan. Fast forward into the 1940s, 1950s, where in America, the Jewish community began picking up steam, and all the milk that people had available to them was really milk that you were going to buy from your local manufacturer in the United States. And that was Cholov, Shechol Vayakum, the Ein Yisro Reye. And the Shaila was sent to Hagoyin Ramosha Feinstein as the Mor D'Astra of all Jewry in the United States of America, really the whole world, but certainly in the United States. And they asked him, the Shaila, what's the bottom line? Can I put milk in my coffee or can I not? This Cholov, am I allowed to drink this milk or am I not allowed to drink this milk? Now, Pashit, you would approach it. You'd start with the Prichodosh and the Chassam Sofer. And then there's Aruch HaShulchan, v'chule, v'chule, v'chule. We're just speaking out literally a drop in the bucket. But Rav Moshe wrote earth-shattering tshuva. And Rav Moshe flipped the whole story. Rav Moshe said that once upon a time, there was a shayla of cholov, shechol v'yakum, mein soriyeyo. And there was a Mardchai, and there was a Rebbeinu Peretz, and a Sharidura, and a Rashni, and a Prichodosh, and a Radvaz, and a Chassam Sofer, v'chule, v'chule, v'chule. But today, if somebody buys a bottle of milk in his local supermarket in the United States of America, the chshash, this whole sugya, is completely non-relevant. And really, the crux of Rav Moshe's tshuva, if you go through the first tshuva, which is the Iker tshuva, it's in Yerudei Chelek Aleph, of Simen Mem Zayin, it's a Noshim Nezikin tshuva. And Rav Moshe said as follows, we know there's something called Anan Sahadi. Anan Sahadi means that if we have strong evidence that something would have played out a certain way, we can consider it as if we know for sure that it played out that way. Not just that, but it's as if we saw it actually play out that way. And he brings a raya from a Tosfos in Masechta Shavuos, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, with regards to Eidos Mamon. And he brings a raya from a Tosfos in Yevamos, Daf Mem Hei. I'm telling you, this is real Noshim Nezikin, regarding a Bezin that has to see a Ger Teufel. And one of his rayas that he brings is, we know that when it comes to Eidim, with regards to Arayas, the Gemara says, Achiyiru Kederach HaMenachem. The Eidei Arayas didn't have to see the physical act of the Tashmish, but as long as they saw them acting Kederach HaMenachem, that would be enough. Now that's posh, you can't give somebody Mises Bez without Ria. The Teretz is, Achiyiru Kederach HaMenachem created an Umdana, created circumstantial evidence that we know it happened. And if we know it happened, it's as if we saw it happen. In other words, Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva, proving from all areas in Shulchan Aruch, that if you have an Anan Sahadi, If you have very, very strong circumstantial evidence, almost bulletproof evidence, that something happened, you can ascertain halachically that it happened, and not just that, it's as if you saw it happen. So said Rav Moshe, he did research, and he saw, and he was told that today, if a company that professes to be selling cholov of a cow were found to be selling something else, or there was even a tarivus of something else, they would have to pay ridiculous fines. They're governed by the USDA. They would risk losing their license, shareholder issues. There could be very, very big issues that these companies would have. As a result, irsusei mirsas. It's poshut, like the Gemara says in Lama Tess on the days. They're afraid. They're extremely disincentivized from going ahead and doing something like that. As a matter of fact, Ramesha said, it's as if there's an anan sahadi that there's no chol of tameh. If there's an anad sahadi that there's no chol of tameh, then it constitutes real. So says Rav Moshe, milk in America today is not chol of shechol v'yakum ve'en yisroel re'yeyu. It's chol of shechol v'yakum v'yisroel re'yeyu. If it's chol of shechol v'yakum v'yisroel re'yeyu, it's poshut it's going to be mutter. Meaning, the whole shayl of chol of akum always started with a mishnah and avodah zarah daf lamed hey amud beis. Chol of shechol v'yakum ve'en yisroel re'yeyu. Is it going to be mutter? Is it going to be aser? Pri chadosh ari duro. Rabbeinu Peretz, Radvaz, Chassam Sofer, all the Marabakoimis and the Geshmak of Festus Sugi, the way it comes from the Gemara, it's beautiful. But that's all starting with the Anocha that we're dealing with Cholav Shechol Vayakum and Yisrael Reyehu. Rav Moshe said today there was a game changer. Today you're not buying from a mom and pop. Today you're buying it from a corporation that has their Susei Mirsas. There's Anan Sahadi that they're afraid to be Ma'ariv Cholav Tomei. If there's Anan Sahadi that they're not going to be Ma'ariv Chol of Tomei, it's as if we saw them milk the cow and not be Ma'ar of Chol of Tomei. If we saw them milk the cow and not be Ma'ar of Chol of Tomei, then it's Chol of Shechol V'yakim Yisro Re'yeyu. So Rav Moshe said, today's Chol of, what he referred to as Chol of companies, today's Chol of companies, what we refer to as Chol of Snam, is not the Mishnah with the Zohar Lamed Hamid Beis. It's the Mishnah with the Zohar Lamed Tess on the Beis. It's not Chol of Shechol V'yakim V'en Yisro Re'yeyu. It's Chol of Shechol V'yakim Yisro Re'yeyu. In other words, it's Chol of Yisro. Rav Moshe held that Chol of Stam is Chol of Yisrael. What's the definition of Chol of Yisrael? The definition of Chol Yisrael is Chol of Shechol V'yakim Yisrael Re'yehu. If a guy milks the cow and the Yid sees it, it's Chol of Yisrael. You can't argue that, it's a Mishnah. Chol of Shechol V'yakim Yisrael Re'yehu, that is the definition. As a matter of fact, even if he doesn't see it, as long as there's a Mirsas, that is the definition of Chol of Yisrael. Said Rav Moshe, Chol of companies Bibedin Oisenu is Chol of Yisrael. If it's Chol of Yisrael, it's Pashat, it's going to be Mutin. Everyone knows this Jew of Rav Moshe. When not everybody knows, is that Chazon Ish said the same exact thing that Rav Moshe said. Chazon Ish said it Bekitzur L'Shoinai, it's in Simin Mem Aleph in Yerudea, and the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish said it more in the context of the Sugya V'omnam. If the government has governance over the Cholov, and they're worried about some sort of punishment that they could get for forgery, Yeshmokum Loimar, the Havi Kishvachis, Achovois, the Mirsislais, something the Ramah talks about. That's what the Gemara talks about. Over there, it's said the Chazunish that it's going to be Mutter. He says, Yeshmokum Loimar, he didn't write a Petarus Poisik. Ramosha was answering Shailas, Ramosha was writing a Petarus Poisik, and it's for that reason Ramosha held that it was going to be Mutter. Now, one of the follow up questions that they asked Ramosha was a very, very stark question. And that is that it's true that the manufacturers, the companies that actually produce these non-Chol of Yisrael products, so they're governed by the USDA, they have oversight, inspections, etc. So there's a very strong Anan Sahadi. Why would they pay the fines? Doesn't make any sense. Nobody likes the Chol of Tameh. It's probably more expensive. They're risking losing their license. If they get caught, they can get shut down. What do they need this for? It's just a nightmare from every side. So Rav Moshe felt that was so compelling that it created Anan Sahadi. It blives Ria. It's Chol of Yisrael. The problem is, where are they getting their milk from? They were getting their milk from mom and pop farmers. Meaning the end user, the big manufacturers, they don't control the farms. So there were a lot of farms. They had these farms in Yerusha and they would export. They had a few good accounts. They're selling it to some big dairy product maker. But the problem is they didn't have the same oversight. All these svaras and mirsas. Yeah, you think of a company that trades in the New York Stock Exchange. It's not going to risk its license by putting milk of a pig into it. It doesn't make sense. But what about the small mom and pop people? So this was sent to Moshe, and it's the third shuvah
series of three tshuvas. So it's Simen Mem Zayin, Simen Mem Ches, and Simen Mem Tes. And that was the Shaila in Simen Mem Tes. And to answer that, Rav Moshe wrote a very long tshuva, a difficult tshuva. It's a tshuva that's really gebayt on major lumdis in the sugya, where you see a tremendous amount of goyim. It's a combination of a svara that the only time you have to be concerned about Taruvis of Chol of Tomei is what Ramesh referred to as Bali Yad Yisrael. If you want to just sound intelligent, those are the magic words. Once it's Bali Yad Yisrael, and a combination of, even if there's a chash, it would be a miyot, and once there's a miyot, you'd have Bittel Baroi based on a Mati Yonison. But the bottom line is, that was Ramesh's Shuvah. I'll just tell you, I saw on the OU's website, so the OU puts Hashkoch on non-Chol of Yisrael products, and they write, they have a disclaimer, and they say that even for those that weren't comfortable with Rav Moshe's second tshuva of Bali Yad Yisrael, today Rav Belsky already b'shaitai, he did research and he spoke to people, the metzias had changed. So in Rav Moshe's time, the small farms weren't being inspected. But he says today, every single farm gets inspected 2 to 6 times a year. And if anyone ever, if an inspector or anyone ever was told of there being an animal that's not a cow on the farm, can't have a dog on the farm, a cat. Any animal, they would be shut down. So the bottom line is that the same svaras that Rav Moshe said regarding Anan Sahadi apply today to the small farmers. So they write there that if somebody, you know, whatever, wanted to be machmer because of the Bali Yad Yisrael part of Rav Moshe's tshuva, that's it's non-applicable b'smanazah anyways, today it's going to be fine. But l'maisa, so this is Rav Moshe's tshuva. But everyone knows that Rav Moshe wrote Bal Nefesh Yachmer, right? That's the second part of the tshuva. Rav Moshe said Bal Nefesh Yachmer. Rav Moshe says that he himself is machmer. And then he says that if somebody holds its mutter, but he's machmer, it could be he's running into deiraisish. You see, chaluf akum is in Issa d'Rabbanan, but neder is already in Issa d'Raisa. So Rav Moshe said that if somebody holds its mutter and that is machmer, so then you have to be machmer neder. Then you're running into a whole other set of issues. But I'll just tell you, you know, one interesting thing. You know, obviously there's a lot of anecdotes and everyone has stories about, you know, specifically with regards to, you know, Rav Moshe's own psak, etc., as it relates to specifically this ambiguity, that on the one hand Rav Moshe said it's mutter, on the other hand Rav Moshe said Bal Nefesh Yachmer. Incidentally, I'll tell you something very, very interesting. Rav Moshe, when he says Bal Nefesh Yachmer, so his lashon is V'gaman abim mikom makoyim L'balei nefesh min haroi l'hachmer V'ein bazeh mishum yuhara. There's no issue of yuhara, there's no element of gaiva. That's unbelievable. Friday, Rabbi Aviv spoke about sherry cask. And Rav Moshe wrote another very famous tshuva. It's also in Yeridei Chelek Aleph Simen Samech Beis, where Rav Moshe said that scotch that were stored in sherry casks, or what Rav Moshe referred to as blended scotches, where there's a little bit of wine in it, is going to be okay. And there's a grace at Sad Lahachmer. And Rav Moshe, there too, wrote a tremendous tshuva where Rav Moshe said it's going to be mutter. And Rav Moshe says as follows, V'ani, avshani mater, even though I'm mater, nizer ani ba'atzmi milishta is blended. I'm careful, I don't drink blended. Rak, however, b'chabura, you have to see this to believe this, if I'm with a chabura, shaloi lemechzi kiyuara, so that it shouldn't look like yuara, ha'yisi shoysa mashu, I used to drink a little bit, levari chamesubin kino. Just give the oil of Malachayim. He said, I used to drink. So Rav Moshe was matter, sherry cask. He wrote the tshuva. And he says, about nefesh should be machmer. But at the same time, which is what he writes at the end of the tshuva, but Rav Moshe says, but to me, myself, when I sit together with the oilam, it shouldn't look like yura. So he says, I drink with Amachayim. You see so much in this Rav Moshe. Number one, you see in Rav Moshe the way he was shekel the chumrah of sherry cask. Number two, you see Rav Moshe's anivus, that Rav Moshe was concerned about a mechsi kiyura. Rav Moshe, mechsi kiyura. But that's the anivus of Rav Moshe as well. But my point is that here Rav Moshe said that there would have been an issue of yura had he been machmer. When it comes to Chol Stam, Rav Moshe writes clearly, the aim is that Mishum yura. You have to be medayik l'shoyne azov shal Rav Moshe. So it's two very well-known tshuvas that get quoted. One place Rav Moshe said there isn't an interviewer. One place he said there's no interviewer. But the emes is, if you go through Rav Moshe's tshuvas, the question almost begs itself, akert. If Rav Moshe held that chol of companies b'medina seinu, a chol of Yisrael, then why did Rav Moshe say Bal Nefesh Yachmer? Why taka Bal Nefesh Yachmer? So I was discussing this with Rabbi Yaakov Bienenfeld on Thursday, and Rabbi Bienenfeld called me last night, told me he was at a Malava Malka, and he saw Reuven Feinstein. So he went over to Reuven Feinstein, and he told me that, you know, Daf Yomi is learning the sugyas now of Chol of Yisrael, Chol of Stam, and he asked Reuven, he says, you know, Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva, and the tshuva was that today, b'mdina seinu, it's Chol of Yisrael. So if it's Chol of Yisrael, then why did Rav Moshe say Bal Nefesh Yachmer? So first of all, Rav Reuven said that if you would ask my brother Rav David, Rav David says Tzorech in Gadol. Doesn't know. He doesn't know why Rav Moshe said Bal Nefesh Yachmer. He himself started saying a whole thesis. He said he's given shiurim on it, why he thinks Rav Moshe said Bal Nefesh Yachmer. But either way, Rabbi Bienefeld was kind enough. He called me and he put me on the phone with Rav Reuven. So I spoke to Rav Reuven Feinstein last night, and this was the Shaila, going through Rav Moshe's tshuva, and Rav Moshe held that Chol of companies, Bimdina Seinu, was Motiyet Bal Nefesh Yachmer. So why Bal Nefesh Yachmer? So one thing Rav Reuven said very clearly, that he knows for sure that Rav Moshe did not mean Mitzad HaAlocha. Meaning Mitzad HaAlocha, it's Poshet that Rav Moshe felt that Chol of companies is Motir. Bal Nefesh Yachmer was, he was telling me, sometimes you have the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. There was a spirit of the law element. You see, there was Yud Chesed Dvarim. You know, there were Inyonim that were put in place throughout the generations. And based on those sensitivities, there was a Bal Nefesh Yachmer. But it wasn't that Rav Moshe questioned his tshuva for one second. Rav Moshe was 100% comfortable with his tshuva. Rav Moshe felt that Chol of companies b'medina seinu is not Avodah Zarah l'menhamid beis, it's Avodah Zarah l'mites amid beis, and it's for that reason it blives Chol of Shechol v'yakum v'Yisrael Rayeyu, and it's for that reason it's going to be mutter. So we have our in-house correspondent, Dovi, here. So I can either pass the mic over to Dovi, but I'll just tell you two things Dovi told me that you have to say. Number one, Dovi told me discussing Rav David many times. Number one, he corroborates what we just said in terms of Tzarechian, in terms of what Rav Moshe meant when he said Bal Nefesh Yachmer. He didn't mean it Mitzad HaLocha. And he said, the Rav David said that, you know, Rav Moshe used to write tshuvas al regel achas. People sent him shailas and sometimes even Dvarim Chamurim. Rav Moshe was just sat down and he wrote. But there were certain tshuvas that Rav Moshe put a disproportionate amount of time in. He put extra koiches into the tshuva because he knew that this was a tshuva l'dayris. And he knew the ramifications, the ripple effect that the tshuva was going to have. And he said one of the tshuvas was Chol of Yisrael. And he put a disproportionate amount of time hen into the iyun of the sugya and the halacha, and hen into the mitzios. So Rav Moshe spent an enormous amount of time, and he thought this through ha-feichba before he wrote the tshuva. This was not a tshuva that was written on regel achas, and he was 100% comfortable with the tshuva. The other thing that Rav David always says is that you have to realize it's only true in the United States of America. Rav Moshe did not write this tshuva for any area outside of the United States. So as it relates to the United States, where we're governed by USDA, FDA, whoever exactly is governing these plants. So over here, Rav Moshe was comfortable. He wasn't sure about it, and he wasn't comfortable about it. I think there's even a tshuva about something with milk in Toronto. I think in the Gris Moshe somewhere. But the bottom line is that this was Be'ikar Rav Moshe's Mahalach.